All right. Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Double L edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. I am one half of your host tonight, Mark, with my beautiful wife, Chris, joining me on the other side of the wall. How's it going on the other side of the wall, Chris?
You're only half? You never told me you're only half. I thought I married a whole.
The way I feel lately after crawling around all weekend on my knees putting a new flooring in the house, I got about half left.
Okay, well, we're going to have to fix that, honey.
All right, we'll see what we can do. So what's going on? Everything good over there on your side? I heard the birds chirping away.
I don't think those were mine. I think those were Rob.
Oh, all right, cool.
So, Rob, I'm very so sorry. Good. Right this second, you're on mute, so... You're going to have to make do with Mark and I just yakking away for a minute. We've got two other callers, which one of which I believe is our friend. I'll check in a minute.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It just absolutely escaped me. I'm blowing. I think one is Chuck. I'm think maybe, perhaps. And the other one is our new wilderness friend.
I got you. Very cool. All right, well, we'll get to our callers in a second and say hello to everybody in the chat room. We've got people filing in still. Got A14, not familiar with you, but welcome. Rob DeVore, Bad Bat Cast, Chip Gibson, our Thursday night host, and the leader of this crazy group of Kayak Fishing Radio hosts is joining us tonight. Guests, we got Hanover Yacker, which is Chuck Rand, which Chris just mentioned, I believe, is on the phone. Rob Choi and Yak Chum, which is also City of Ash. How's it going, everyone? Thank you for joining us tonight. What do we got going on in the chat room? Everybody behaving so far? I see your two hooligans haven't showed up yet.
No,
so.
They're not here, so I'm good.
All right, well, we'll see if we can maybe get some of the show underway before they get in there and disrupt things. So, well, very cool. Well, listeners, and everybody's listening live anyway, not on a podcast, obviously, you're always welcome to call in and chat with us, share anything you got going on in your fishing world, kayaking world, and any reports are always great. You don't have to give specifics and locations, but we always take the input. It's always good to hear from other people in other locations. We get to the mentioning our usual updates and things that are going on and fishing reports tonight, and then we're gonna cover kayak selection. It's kind of funny because Rob's with us tonight, so hopefully he'll stick it out because I wanted to talk to him. But Rob DeVore sparked my idea on doing this show last night. If anybody listened to him on the Monday night show, he stood in for Redfish Chuck last night, and I did not know this about Rob, but he mentioned last night that he lives in a second floor apartment, and he carries his Malibu up and down to his second floor apartment to store it in. So I was like, holy cow, that dude's a hoss right there. Every time I went fishing, if I had to carry a kayak up and down my apartment. But I was thinking about that because we're doing a demo day this weekend, Chris and I are, for Appomattox River Company, which we'll go ahead and just mention that right now, in Farmville, Virginia. If anybody's in the area and like to come out, it's a great event. It's on Lake Wythe in Farmville. You can get more information about the demo day at paddleva.com. But it's a great place to come out and kick the tires, so to speak, on a new kayak if you're looking to upgrade or add another boat to your fleet or just get started in the sport. Besides for having the whole inventory there that Appomattox carries, there'll be reps on hand for all the major kayak manufacturers. There'll be stand-up boards, canoes. So you can definitely come out and pick the brains of the manufacturers and get to paddle everything that's out there, or pedal, whatever the case may be. But that was another reason of tonight's topic that we'll get to in a little while, is just kind of going through the selection process on the kayak. So we'll get to that here shortly. But got some more people filing in, so welcome. I see some of your troublemakers have showed up, Chris, so you got eyes for that. You still with me? I don't guess she is. All right. So anyway, we got that covered. So this weekend's event, Appomattox River Company Demo Day, go to paddleva.com.
Uh-oh.
Get all the details on how to get there. If you're coming to Farmville to do anything other than a demo day, I'm sorry, that's about all you can do. Not much going on. Farmville's a great little town. I'm just joking. But if you sneeze or blink, you made it right through town. And that is also the headquarters now of Yak Attack. So
bring your worms. Bring your worms.
Oh, yeah, bring your worms. A lot of good little fishing on that lake. Chris likes to go whack on the bluegills while we're doing the demos.
Hey, last year I worked hard. I even showed a lady how to load a Tegris in the car.
That's right. Yeah, so bring your kids if they come out. They can come fish with us and hang out on the lake. So, like I said, anybody in the area, the Richmond area, Central Virginia, I guess it would be, come on out Saturday. It starts at 9 o'clock. I think it goes till 1 or 2 o'clock, something like that. But very cool. All right, we'll move on from that. So, as always, and every week, we give you guys updates or at least make sure that you're aware of the boondoggle.
I'm working for you to call.
Oh, button.
The boondoggle this year is
the
boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right. Well, there you go. The boondoggle, October 5th through the 8th in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It is nothing more than an event for getting together and fishing. It's not a tournament. It's nothing, just a bunch of crazy kayakers, like it said, getting together. So mark your calendars. Get all your information off a Yak Angler. It's going to be one of those nights, huh? Get all your information, yakangler.com/boondoggle, Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle. All right, Chris.
Okay, go ahead. Now you can talk.
And we also have a little separate form set up at tka.org. So, yeah, Rob, I see you laughing. You guys are the ones that set all these buttons up, so I'll have to get her to log in some other time. I guess there's some trouble tonight with the – is there some trouble with the chat room? People having trouble? Chip put up a link there to go to blogtalkradio.com. And go to Kayak Fishing Radio. So if you're listening or having trouble getting in and you're not seeing the chat room, if you're going through Kayak Fishing Radio, try to go through blogtalkradio.com. Okay, Chris, what are you doing over there?
Nothing. It's Tom. Tom wrote, that just sounded like me after eating a big burrito.
All right, that's the part I like about not having to keep the chat room open and I don't look at it. All right, so let's keep going here.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, boy. Let's try to keep on track here. Kayak Fishing Radio, not Tom's dietetic problems. All right, so I'll give you a little fishing report. Unfortunately, Chris and I have not been out lately. We've been getting our new home ready to move into, so doing a little bit of moving and a little bit of home fix it up. And so when we move in, we're all done, and then we can spend the rest of our time free time, that is, fishing, hopefully. So not that this past weekend was that great anyway. We had a wicked storm move through Virginia Beach area, south side, I guess you would say, on Friday night. We had a tornado go through Hampton, tore up the Pirate Festival, and threw ships out of the water, tore up Amory's. So it was a pretty dicey night on Friday night, which caused Saturday's waters to be pretty muddy. We had a local how event that went off on Saturday, and from the reports I got back, Rudy Inlet was just dirty, big old mess of water out there from all the runoff from the rain. So, but before that happened, and I'm sure it's balancing out now, even though the temperatures have changed a little, a lot of our summer fish are really starting to show their faces, so to speak. We got cobia all the way up to Buckrow now. So anybody who's listening to local, I've heard of cobia all the way up near Buckrow. So you know what time it is, guys. It's time to go out and start hanging the bag over the side of the kayak and do a little chumming and see if you can get the old Mr. Brown suit to show up. Salt ponds, that kind of area, the rock pile, anything over there off of Buck Row. Good shot at Decovia coming along. What else we got out there? Flounder. Flounder will be getting better and better. Heard of some good reports coming as close as the first island on the Bay Bridge Tunnel. Lesnar, underneath the Lesnar. And I'm sure if you poke back a little further up into Lynn Haven now, you'll probably do pretty good with the Flounder. So,
actually,
then one of
did you see on Chris's Bait and Tackle put up sporadic 18-inch croaker being caught?
Geez, he just made Tom fall out of his chair. Everybody, go pick Tom back up. Put Vanderheiden back in.
That's a pretty big croaker. I'd be happy to catch an 18-inch croaker.
Yeah, that is a good-sized croaker. Very good. So there you go. Some big croaker, which should be definitely getting better and better. Mr. Rob Choi, I'm sure you already know this. I see you're in the chat room, and welcome. Spade fish. Got the spades coming in. So, like I said, some of our summer fish are starting to show up. I've heard of trigger fish being caught already. So it's definitely starting to turn into summer conditions here. And that's one thing about this area, if you guys that don't fish here, but I'm sure everybody that is local and listening to us tonight knows that it just gets better and better as the summer comes along, everything moving inshore. So before you know it, that Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel is just going to be boat after boat. You'll be able to walk the whole thing without getting your feet wet, probably. So, but it's definitely improving out there. A lot of stripers still around. I heard the bite's a lot better at nighttime, top water plugs, wind cheaters, things like that. Just remember, as the temperatures go up, so does the, when the temperatures go up and it gets a lot warmer, you got to be a little more careful with those stripers. They don't do well, and if they put up a big fight and they get put back in that heat, in the heat, in the hot water, when the water temperatures warm up, they get that lactic acid built up. So handle them with care. They don't do very well. They're kind of a colder, more natured fish. So, but they're out there. I've seen fish over 40-some inches still being caught off the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And I've seen some pretty good reports. Yeah, see, there's Rob. Love some spades. I know he'd be happy to hear that. I always feel a little, I don't know, guilty is the word, but I've never really listened to a lot of podcasts from the kayak fishing radio thing, but I always wonder what it must be like for people who download the show and listen to it afterwards when we all comment, chuckle, laugh, and even make some other noises towards stuff that go on in the chat room the night that the show is recorded. It's got to be kind of weird. So for any of that, I apologize for you who have downloaded the show and listening to it, but probably a lot of the chat room you don't want to see anyway, so you're probably best off right where you're at. So who do we got on the phone? Did you get all that deciphered, Chris?
Yes, Jay is listening in. You got Chuck is live, and so is Rob, are both live.
Very cool. All right, well, we'll get to them here shortly.
For all of those listening to the podcast, that would be Rob DeVore.
Yeah, we got Robs and Chucks, and we have to start giving people numbers. That's Chuck number 12. Chuck number.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me fix that. That's Chuck Wren.
Yeah, I knew which Chuck it was. I was saying to Rob. We got Rob Choi that calls in, then we got Rob DeVore. Very cool. So, yeah, I think that's about all I really have for local fishing reports. There's definitely speckled trout out there. I'm not going to talk too much about those because now the reports I've been getting more and more from the speckled trout are the speckled trout reports that I am not allowed to share publicly. I always make a joke that if I'm ever going to rob a bank, that I'm going to rob it with a good speckled trout fisherman because they know how to keep their mouth shut. So, as promised, I'm going to keep my mouth quiet about the trout bite, but it's definitely pretty good out there still. Just got to know where to go this time of year for them.
You're not going
to
talk about the speckled trout in the James River?
Which speckled trout was that?
You know, the one with the funny spot.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
Is that the southern James River or more northern James River?
Well, the northern.
Oh, the more northern one.
Right,
gotcha.
Right. I'm going to mute myself real quick and get the dog.
Okay. Let me know when you're back. All right, now she's gone. What can we say? No, I'm just joking because you all chat. You, every one of you will turn me in, so I'm not going to say anything. All right, so well, I guess we're just going to go ahead and roll right through here because I don't really have much more of a fishing report to give you guys because, like I said, unfortunately, we haven't been out much. If anybody's got anything they'd like to share either in the chat room or by calling in, please do so. Like I said, you don't have to give locations and all that good stuff, but and it doesn't have to be here locally in Virginia Beach. So, yeah, everybody's trying to get their digs in now. Chris isn't watching the chat room. Anyway, there I go, being guilty of reading the chat room and not staying focused on the task at hand. So we'll go ahead and get to tonight's topic just because I want to get it covered and get to our guests and see what they have to input on this. But kayak selecting. Now, I know most of you who are listening tonight obviously probably already have your own kayaks, but maybe you're thinking of changing it or getting a different, you know, another boat for a different application. But so there's a lot of things that go into that. And one of the things I find really funny now is somebody posted up earlier that demo days are great. And demo days are great, but at the same time, I got to wonder how overwhelming demo days must be to people because the kayak industry, especially on the fishing side, has grown so much and there's so many options out there for people. And it must, you know, kind of be overwhelming if you don't do some of your homework before you even get to that demo day. So there's probably a lot of things that you need to think about. I tell a lot of people when they talk to me at the shows, is I use the old, what your mom used to tell you, you know, you make the take the piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, put the good category and bad categories or the pros and the cons, and then start putting down the things that you like and don't like about each boat to make your selection. There's probably no one kayak that'll do everything you want to do. I.e., there's not a boat that's going to, you know, you're going to go out in rough seas for, but also be a good boat that you might want to fish in the skinny waters and or stand-up version, something you can stand up in, as opposed to something that's faster that doesn't have the ability for you to stand up that might be a little tippy or whatever the case may be. So you really need to start narrowing down what you want and what you want the boat to do for you. So, like I said, I kind of got on this topic with the upcoming demo day, and then after listening to one of our callers, Rob, who's on the line with us. Rob, you there?
Yeah, man.
Very cool. Yeah, last night, let me tell you, I was listening to the show. Great job. Good to hear you back on the air, even though if it was just for 1 week for helping Chuck out, take a night off. But when I heard you say last night that you live on a second floor apartment and you put your kayak up in your apartment, I was like, that's pretty crazy right there, dude. Is it hard to do?
No, it's just it's a straight stairway, so I'm lucky, and it's right outside my door.
I got
my Malibu, you know, it's a stealth 12, so it's like 12 and a half feet long, and it just fits. I keep it behind my couch, so I just have to do a little bit of little moving it around when I bring it in and out, and it works perfectly. If I had the 14, I'd never be able to do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like I said, this was pretty funny last night when I heard you say that. Obviously, I wouldn't know where you keep your kayak. I've never been to your house, but when you said you keep it upstairs behind your couch, I was like, wow. And that's what got me thinking. Well, you know, those are factors that people have to think about when they buy a kayak. Is, you know, where are you going to store it? Where are you going to keep it when you're not using it? I mean, all of mine are in the backyard. Chris's Tegris is in the garage. It's kept in almost climate controlled, out of the elements. But that's the difference. That's the difference at the farm here. But yeah, so that's a good factor right there into, you know, when you're going to select a kayak is where you're going to keep it when you're not using it. You know, do you have space in the garage or in the backyard? One thing I will recommend, if you keep it in the yard or outside, that you cover it or keep it in a shaded area. That sun will break down. It's not good for it. Use the, you know, some kind of protectant on the boat. Definitely put it upside down if you can. All of mine sit upside down so nothing's, you know, the water's piling up in it or anything like that.
Honey?
What other... Yes?
I just wanted to make sure that you know I'm back and that I can hear what you're saying.
I didn't say anything bad. Everybody knows that your kayak's in the garage and all of mine are in the backyard.
Why is that, though?
Because yours cost as much as two of mine cost.
Okay, just saying.
Okay.
Oh,
all right, we got that cleared up. Everybody listening understands the pecking order here at the house. So they already know. They know where it goes. Chris's kayak, the children, the dogs, Mark. No, just joking.
It's not quite that bad, honey.
Am I above the dogs or still below the dogs?
You're not living in the garage.
Oh, there's an option, though. You hear the options in there. I was waiting for a not yet, right?
Keep it up. We'll build a nice doghouse.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll have to build my own doghouse.
Actually,
I'm the carpenter.
We do have a rather fancy shed at the new house.
Yeah. All right. Let's move along. So anyway, so give me some ideas, Rob. What do you look for? I mean, I don't know if you're in the market or, and we'll keep going here. I got some other things I wanted to cover on picking a kayak, but what are some of the things you would suggest to people, or what are some factors that you look into? Are you looking to get into any different kayaks or changing anytime soon? And,
well, of course, yeah. I'm always, I like to, you know, it's interesting for me to look at it, you know, and that's, you know, the debate's always interesting because everybody's different. What I like to, I like big, stable kayaks that you can stand up on and lean on and get in and out of pretty easily. That can carry a lot of stuff as far as, like, stuff. Because I like to do different stuff with my kayak besides just fish, you know. Sometimes I like to go camping or something like that and throw all the stuff. You know, I have to have the ability to haul all of my camping stuff. So that's one thing I really like about the Malibu is it has tons of room in there that I can store a lot of stuff and still generally, you know, I get to be able to handle it and pick it up and down the steps and everything else. So those are all factors. Plus, you know, it's very comfortable for me. But as far as, like, newer kayaks, I'm always looking at different designs, and I'm sure I'll probably get something else in the next couple of years. But one kayak that I really like right now that just came out is the Jackson Big Tuna. You know, I love the option that it has, that it can be a tandem too. You know, because that's, I know tons of people that want to go out and kayak, nobody has them, you know, so that would be some. Kind of, yeah, I really like that option of being able to throw someone else in there, you know, and actually get out there and from a practical standpoint.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know what we always joke about is, and being on the other side of the industry, you know what we call tandem boats on this side?
That.
Divorce boats.
Divorce boats, yeah.
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 Because somebody's not always paddling, so it usually turns into a problem, or people start going one way and the other person's going the other way, but
yeah,
nah, I'm just joking. Oh, but yeah, you see that?
I was on the Weekiwachee River Memorial Day weekend, and I've never seen people dump canoes and kayaks like that. I mean, it was just, you know, tandems or canoes or whatever, and they were just dumping them left and right. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that you just mentioned and I mentioned in the beginning is there's so many options out there now. You know, when we all started, a lot of us started this, there wasn't that many options. I mean, I had Corey Ruth on here last week, and Corey was talking, you know, I mean, the Scupper Pro was like the first thing. You know, now it's like, gosh, where we've came from then. I mean, it's probably, like I said, to the consumer and to the first-time buyer or somebody relatively new to the sport, you know, it's probably overwhelming when you show up in a kayak shop or show up at one of these demo days. So there's a lot of factors that you got to think about. And not only, you know, we already covered where you're going to store the kayak, but transporting the kayak too is something that a lot of people, you know, they get all excited. But then, you know, if you're driving a Yugo, you probably don't want the big tuna, you know. So you got to get it to the water somehow. So, and I've seen some crazy things out there too with that. I mean, little bitty cars with big long kayaks. If anybody's familiar with John Ose with Ocean Kayak, you got to look at his Facebook pictures. I've never seen anybody. He's got a little, somebody help me out here. Ose has a little tiny Toyota.
Yaris?
I don't know. God, he's got one of those little, like,
it's
Priuses or something.
Yaris.
Yeah. And I've seen that guy. He had, like, four kayaks on the top of that car one day. He had them things all I don't know. Yeah, he's put pictures up on his Facebook thing of him loaded up three and four kayaks on top of that Yaris, whatever. I just know it's a little bitty car, and to have a bunch of Ocean kayaks stacked on the top of it, but he gets around that way. So, yeah, so definitely transporting your kayaks is definitely something you need to think about, what you're going to do, how you're going to carry it to the water. When it comes to the boats themselves, like I said, there's probably no one kayak that's going to do all the things that, you know, people are looking for out there. You're not going to find something that's going to be a swift, fast, and stable, maybe. I mean, like Rob was saying, he likes something wider that he can stand up in and carry a lot of gear. But he's not going to probably keep up with a guy in a Tarpon 160, would you say, Rob?
It's not the fastest kayak in the world, but I'm not really worried about that. That's probably the on the list of things that I look for in a kayak. That's probably one of the, on the lower end.
Sure. Right, that's what I was saying. You got to narrow that down. You're not looking for speed. You're looking for that stability and that carrying room for gear and loading it up. And then with all that now in the market, we have all of our hybrids, they're called, or whatever people are calling them. We call it hybrids at the at Native. The Ultimate comes to mind there. Commander for Wilderness Systems. What else is out there? I know Malibu just came out with one. It's kind of those tri-hole, if everybody's not familiar with the hybrids, quote-unquote hybrid kayaks that are out there. I guess it's a cross between a canoe and a kayak, the tri-hole style. Gives it a lot more stability, but it's not a sit-on-top, so there's no drainage, so any water that gets in there stays in there. And where's that background noise coming from? I'm sorry.
That's me? Rob.
Is it Rob?
I think so. Start saying something real quick.
Sorry, everyone. Just trying to figure out where all the...
Chuck?
Yeah.
Say something. It's not Chuck.
Well, it was Justin. I just silenced him. All right. Very good. All right. We're moving along here. So we got another caller on the line, and we'll ask Chuck some questions on what his kind of keys that he looks for in selecting a boat, because I know Chuck just made a big switch this year from, I believe he was paddling Wilderness Boat, and now he's a member of the Hobie Pro staff, and so obviously he's in a Hobie these days, so he definitely made a big switch from paddling to pedaling. But so, Chuck, how's it going tonight?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Doing real good. So you've been listening in. So as a new friend of Hobie there, so what are some of the key factors that you look for when you're picking a kayak or thinking of changing, whatever the case may be?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of mine has to do with my scheduling as far as the availability to get out on the water. So with my work schedule and my family commitments, I have very few hours on the water. So if I want to go do, you know, Fisherman's Island or First Island, I need to be able to get down there, get out on the water, get out there fishing as much as possible, and then get home as quick as possible. And for me at the time, I had a Ride 135, and I actually loved the kayak because it let me do a lot of the fishing that I liked to do at that time, which was sight casting, a lot of top water action, you know, standing up on the flats and the inshore area, and I really enjoyed it, but it was a slow kayak, and it really was a beast loading it on and off of my van every single time I needed to go somewhere. So I needed something that was a little lighter, a little bit more maneuverable, little bit more faster in the water, yet still with a good fishing platform. And for me, a Revolution 13 does about 90% of what I need it to do. You know, it's not optimal in heavy timber or as a standing platform. I can stand in it, but, you know, that takes time. Not as easy as I could stand in a Ride 135 or even like an Ocean Kayak Trident 13, or even I used to be able to stand in a Tarpon 140, you know, a Tarpon 140 or a 120 pretty easily. So I know I'll be able to do it eventually in my Revo. I just don't spend a lot of time doing it right now because I'm out there searching for fish and just scouting new areas. But, yeah, it's a good platform for what I need it to do. But like I tell everybody, I don't push a Hobie on someone. I make sure they understand not only how they use a kayak or how they fish, but how they want to fish in the future. And that's honestly where I made my mistake. I bought the Ride 135 sight unseen, never paddled it before a day in my life. Now, I made the freshman mistake or the newbie mistake of just jumping in a kayak based upon people's recommendations and the popularity at the time. It worked out for me in the end because it was such a good platform for what I wanted to do, but I didn't take into consideration the desire to go out to First Island or Fisherman's Island in the nasty swells and some of the currents that rip through there, or like Kiptopeak, trying to maintain position, you know, in the currents out at Kiptopeak, because I'm not the best paddler. I didn't have the best technique, so I needed some help. I'm better at it now, and if I needed to in a pinch, you know, I can just yank the drive, the Mirage drive, or oppose the fins and just pull the paddle right off the side and just paddle away, because the hull of a Revolution 13 is very, very similar to a Tarpon 140. So there are a lot of similarities there. So that was one of the biggest things. You know, when people think of Hobie, the first ones that pop into their head are the Pro Angler, you know, the barge, basically, and the Outback. And those are unique fishing platforms for specific purposes. If they forget about the Revolution 13 and how similar it is to a lot of other kayaks out there on the market. But like I tell everybody, you got to understand what you're going to do in the kayak and be realistic about what your goals are.
All right, that goes back to what I said in the beginning. Yep, make that list and have something to go off of.
Yeah, prioritize.
Exactly.
Yep,
because you're not going to find
You're not going to find the perfect kayak. There is no such thing. Rob DeVore will tell you that. Rob Choi will tell that. You guys preach that all the time. The one thing that I try to educate people about is the kayak is only part of the equation. There's other things like you guys started to talk about storage of the kayak and transport of the kayak. If you are, you know, a smaller individual that's not tall in stature, do you want to be lifting, you know, a 70 to 80 pound kayak over top of your head on top of a minivan or trying to carry it up the steps? That's probably not the best option for you in total, even though on the water the kayak makes sense for you. So I always try to educate people on the full package. Make sure you understand what type of gear you want to carry, what type of storage options does the kayak have for you, stuff like that.
Right, and going along with that, it was something else I had here in my notes, and we'll just kind of segue into it because you kind of covered that. There's another big option is the rigging into a boat. Plan on doing a lot of rigging, if you want to add rod holders, if you want to put a bottom machine, I personally don't put a lot of stuff on my boats. I try to keep them pretty simple because the more stuff that's on there, there's more things for me to get tangled up in or to cause a problem when I'm trying to land a fish, or the occasional fly casting days when you're out there with a fly rod. And I don't know many fly fishermen we have in the chat room or listening, but fly line finds everything, and I always say if you lose your car keys, just get your fly rod out because it'll find them. It snags on everything you can possibly imagine. So the more stuff you have, to me, rod holders, mounts, all kind of things, it's just something for, you know, to get in the way for you. So you have to understand the cockpit, the hull that you're buying too. Is it feasible now with people like Luther out there who've made rigging a kayak so much more easier for people, but there's still limitations to that with certain boat styles and certain hulls that you can't put everything on there you might want. So, you know, and some of the manufacturers have stepped up and created options for you. And not that I wanted to make tonight's show, you know, a plug towards anybody's boat, but like Native has that folding dashboard. There's other manufacturers out there that have things similar to that. So there's other options that you can get to rig your boat. I have the dashboard in my Ultimate. There's nothing rigged on it. I just use it as a place to lean my rods when I'm fishing from one area, when I'm moving from one place to the other place. So, but
yeah,
I don't have any rod holders on it.
And another thing to take into consideration is the type of equipment you use. You already mentioned one, a fly rod. Well, for some folks, depending upon the type of fishing they do, if they're an ultralight fisherman, then a 13 to 14 foot boat may not be the best option for them just from the rod length perspective in case they get a fish that runs towards the front of the boat. They're not going to be able to reach around the bow of the boat. And that's where I talk to people about their physical stature. If you're a tall individual, you can get away with smaller rods than most people. You can get away with a 6 foot six rod. I have very long arms, so I even have a 6 foot three Shimano Crucial that I use for finesse presentations when I'm in the freshwater, but I can lean forward and reach right around the bow of my kayak. Not everybody can do that, you know, and
right.
the orientation of the seat, and that's why I tell people seat time, not just from a paddling perspective, and not just from a comfort perspective, because those are two important variables, but it's also important to understand your fishing gear relative to how you're sitting in the kayak, because if you can't reach the bow of that kayak with your existing fishing gear, you've now limited the fishable areas of the water that you can approach using the kayak. You're going to have to cock your kayak to the side because you're going to have to do all your casting to the side. You can't go over the front of the boat.
Right.
So...
And along that same lines is something that I always tell people, and if there's any kayak manufacturers in the room, they're going to go ahead and yell at me now. Go ahead, and I apologize. But one of the things I tell a lot of people is don't buy that angler package that a lot of manufacturers offer, because where things are put in at the factory, yeah, buy the boat without anything on it, because there's very limited chances that where those things are put into the boat, i.e. rod holders, or whatever might come on it, might fit for you or might work where you want them. It's not very hard to rig a kayak. Like I mentioned earlier, Luther has made it really easy. If you got a cordless drill and a screw gun and a little bit of mechanical aptitude about you, keep everything above the waterline, you know, and you take some time. There's plenty of good YouTube videos out there and help that you can get to rig your kayaks up. So buying those angler packages and things like that. Now, a lot of kayak shops do kayak rigging for you, but what I would suggest you do there is talk to those people at the store. Brad's in the room tonight from Some Jammers, and I'm sure he would agree, is to get the boat, go fish it for a couple times, and say,
yep,
this is where I'd like to have a rod holder. If you don't feel good about putting that on there, go back to the place you bought it from, buy the parts from them. That always helps. Don't come walking in there with a handful of stuff you got off of eBay and ask them to plug it in for you, because they're probably going to charge you an arm and a leg then. But bring the kayak back, buy those rod holders or your bottom machine, whatever it is you want to put on the boat, and then have somebody rig it for you. But buy the boat stripped down, take it out a couple times, figure out where you like things or wouldn't want something to be, and then go ahead and rig your boat from there.
Yeah, that's a good point about where you want stuff in the kayak. We always tell the new people that jump on the forums, you know, you don't even really need to take the kayak out on the water. Take it out in the backyard, sit in it, take a jar of Vaseline or jelly or some form of non-permanent marking substance, you know, it can be oil. Put it on the bottom of your rod, of the butt of your rod, sitting in the kayak seat, reach back to your left and reach back to your right, and touch the hull of the kayak. Where you touch, where it's the most comfortable and it doesn't put a physical strain on your body, look and see where that is and see if it's even a mountable point for a rod holder. Even though that may be comfortable for you, it may not be physically possible given the structure of the kayak. So a lot of those limitations also challenge people when they go to do these modifications. And then understanding how you're going to use the kayak. If you're going to be fishing on rivers with overhanging trees and limbs and structure, or fishing high tide under bridges, you don't want vertical rod holders. You want horizontal rod holders. So that's where you really have to write down all the ways you plan on using the kayak and be realistic about what you're going to do to it before you go hog wild and, like you said, buy an angler package, because you won't use 90% of the crap on there.
Very true.
Can he say crap?
Well, he did, so I, yeah, he can say crap.
I censored myself.
But that's PG.
I'll jump off here for you, Mark, and you can let somebody
else
jump in.
No, stick around, man. No, stick around. We got plenty of people. We got plenty of room on here. There's no limit to the amount of chattering mouths we have. We got Rob still here. Rob, you got anything you want to throw into the mix with any of that?
No, just that.
It's open mic night at the Double L Bar. Come on in.
No, I would just recommend to anybody, before you get a kayak, if you can, you know, go to the demo days and paddle one. You know, if there's one that you're looking at, or you know somebody that has one or something, before you buy, go out and paddle one. You know, that way you know if you like it or not. You might hate it. My buddy, of course I'm going to recommend my kayak to anybody because I like it. But, you know, everybody's different. But he paddled mine, and he absolutely hated it. He was just like, man, that's terrible. And he ended up getting an Ocean, I think like a Prowler 11 or something, whatever the bizarre. And he loves it. You know, he rigs it up however he wants to, and, you know, it's perfect. So
yeah, don't do the buddy thing. You're right. Don't do the buddy thing because your buddy likes a boat. That don't mean you're going to like it unless you paddled it, but don't. Everybody's different, so you know how it fits. And another thing is, you know, the person too. Vic touched on this the other day. I was talking to Vic, you know, and Brad's in the chat room and he can attest to this or not, but you get some people that are walking a store and they'll say, yeah, I want a 12-foot manta ray. But you look at the guy and he's pushing 250, 280. It's like, nah, we're not going to put you in a 12-foot manta ray. So, you know, in a politically correct atmosphere, I guess you got to think about those things too. The size of the individual, you know, your size, your stature, the type of boat that you're going to get into, your length too, not just your weight, but the length. You see some people trying to jam a 7-foot guy down in a little 12-foot boat and his knees are, you can't even paddle then. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors into that stuff when you get out there.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of that is, not only from a sizing perspective, is the person's physical capabilities to recover in the event that they're out there knocked out of the kayak in some way, shape, or form. You know, and their ability to right the kayak, because like Rob will tell you, a Malibu Stealth is a very stable platform, but you get that sucker flipped over, you can get it back right turned right side up, but it's going to be a little bit of a challenge if you don't know how to do it properly versus something like a tarpon or an ocean kayak, just because of the design of the hull. My Ride 135, you know, it was a bear trying to flip it, but once you got it flipped, you had an even harder time trying to get it righted back up. Now, knock on wood, I never turtled it, but I did play around with it just to see what it was like, and I knew that if I got dumped in the cold water, I was going to be in for a world of hurting trying to get that sucker righted back up, even though I knew I could do it.
Right.
So that's just another factor.
Rob just stands up. He fishes in, like, shallow water down there in Florida. He flips out. He just stands up and then turns it back.
Yeah,
I thought he just waited and clipped it to his belt and walked around on the flats.
I do that sometimes, but I've played around with trying to see if I can get back in it in deep water and everything, and I can. I've never flipped it all the way over and done it, but I've done the practice that deep water reentry stuff, because sometimes, you know, especially this time of year, we like to get in some deeper water, and I just want to make, you know, you never know what's going to happen, so that's why you got to...
Yeah, no, everybody, and that's off topic, but a great point that, yes, I preach that all the time. You need to know how, and, you know, taking your boat out and doing it in the middle of summer with nothing in the boat is one thing, but also learn how to do it with the gear on the boat and how you'd be fishing. Here in Virginia, every fall, TKA has offered, and I'm sure we'll do it again this year, with Vic Sorensen's help, we always do a turtling day. But we tell everybody to bring their kayaks rigged, you know, and bring what you're going to wear in striper season, your dry suit, your waders, and your PFD. I mean, it's easy to get back in the boat in July when you're wearing a pair of shorts and, you know, it's 75-degree water and 100-degree day. But when it's November and it's 43-degree water, things change a lot. And I'm not too proud to admit that I turtled. My one and only turtle was striper fishing at the concrete ships. And, I got back in that boat quicker than I could. Corey said he didn't even see me get back in. I got back in so quick. But when you hit 42-degree water, you move quick.
Yeah,
so,
but Corey got some pictures.
What's that?
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you get great pictures of Corey's fish?
Yeah, that's what was happening. I'll tell the story real quick. Yeah, so Corey had the big striper. We were taking pictures, and we were getting ready to get a measurement, and the fish flipped out. So Corey had it only by the tail and couldn't pick it up enough. So I paddled over, and I reached down. I had my hands in its gills and trying to lift it, and I used the old ladder technique. Well, I mean, not the ladder technique, but I kept leaning over to try to get leverage on it, and before I know it, I was looking at the bottom of my kayak. But like I said, I quickly had that thing righted and was sitting back down, and wouldn't you know it, about 2 minutes later, Kayak Kevin comes paddling out. Doop, 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 doop. Hey, Lozier, you look a little wet. What happened? But I stayed and fished the rest of the day. But, yeah, so that's a good topic for another night. But, yes, definitely learning how and knowing that the boat that you purchase is one that you can take, you know, you want to buy something that you can take care of. I got a question coming in here. Hold on. Oh, Brad from Sunjammers just brought up a great point, too. One question to ask the store before you buy what boat they fish out of. No need to take advice from someone who doesn't actually fish. But that's true. I mean, you know, you can go to a lot of shops and people in there, you know, they might kayak, but they see kayak and they don't know the first thing. So you definitely want, if you're just going to a store to ask around, make sure that you're talking to knowledgeable staff. And I'm not trying to pick on anything, but these box stores and some of these other locations that are selling kayaks nowadays, you know, as much as everybody else out there, you guys know a lot of those people that work in that store, they're just there for a paycheck. They probably don't know, just like the same big box stores that are selling tackle. You can ask that kid which color you should be using this week, and he's just going to grab one off the shelf for you. So that's what really pays to go to a local shop or a kayak-specific place, something in your neighborhood that's going to definitely take care of you. Not trying to shorten down the box store people, but you're not going to get the help and the things you need from.
Yeah, it's rare for a box store employee to really be able to give you some usable information. We have one exception up here in Richmond, and that's the Bass Pro Shops up here. Mark, you know the guys that are there, because the guy that won the TKAA Slam last year. Well, after talking with him some more during one of our HOW events up there at Bass Pro this year, I come to find out everybody that works in the reel and fishing department has a kayak. So they take it very seriously. And they're already starting to brag about coming back down here this year and winning the slam again.
Tell them to bring it. Tell them to bring it.
I know. No kidding. But, yeah, it's one of those things where that's where you should, from a sales perspective, when I talk to people about, you know, kayaks, and not just Hobie, just kayaks in general, I ask them, you know, what have they paddled so far? Why are they leaning towards a specific kayak? And 95% of the time, they haven't seen the kayak before, or it's something that their friend told them about. So they haven't done enough research, and they haven't really done an honest assessment
of how they're going to use the kayaks or why they even want one. They're just jumping into it because their friend told them about it.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. So, definitely don't do that. And things like the demo days and shops that you can try them out. Some kayak shops out there have like a $25 deposit or something, and they'll meet you and let you try out boats. Rob, what's that? I was there this winter when I was working in Florida. What is that shop with the indoor ski thing and all that that has the water out back you can try the kayaks on?
Oh, that's Bill Jackson's, man. That's a really good shop for that sort of stuff. Fishing stuff. I mean, those guys are great.
They have a body of water right behind the store. Right?
Yeah, they have a body of water
they can try.
They do all kinds of stuff at that store. Yeah, you can definitely go out there and paddle. Try one out. They got a whole bunch of demo stuff out there. Stand up paddle boards. They do fly fishing classes. Everything.
Yeah, that place is pretty cool. If you guys are ever in the Tampa Bay area, what is it called again?
That's Bill Jackson's Shop
Bill
for
Jackson.
Adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were down there filming for Native and Neil Taylor. And he's like, oh, we're going to go to Bill Jackson's. They got an indoor ski thing so you can try out skis. So the first part about that, and if everybody's listening to me, I started this story by saying I was in Florida, in Tampa Bay, and Neil Taylor's telling me about a store that has an indoor ski whatever you can use to try out the skis before you buy them. So I was like, okay, I'm in Florida, first off. Now you got an indoor, but they literally have this hill that's some kind of carpet, and it rolls, and you can literally try snow skis out indoors and stand on this little hill and ski inside this sporting goods store. So that was pretty wild. But they have a full pool in there to try out scuba gear. Like I said, they got a body of water in the back that you can try out kayaks. So, yeah, if you're ever down there in Tampa Bay area, you just got to go check it out just to see the indoor ski demo area, I guess you could call it, in Florida. But actually, they told me that region of Florida has one of the highest wintertime, sales around. So I guess everybody in Florida is trying to go north. Everybody in north is trying to go to Florida in the winter.
Yeah, down here, a lot of folks that live down here that might be familiar with it or whatever, they go to, it's very common to, everybody up north comes down here to go to Disney World, where everybody that lives here goes to, like, Vail, Colorado to go skiing or something,
Yeah.
So it's kind of like reverse tourism. But that shop, man, Bill Jackson's, they have everything. It's a great place for, like, backpacking gear and, they have, like, top-notch stuff, man. It's probably one of the best shops. If you want to go try something, try on a backpack or something like that you've been looking at, it's a place to do it, man. And their staff is awesome. They really know because they actually get out and do this stuff that they're selling. So it's an awesome shop.
Yeah, it seemed like a great bunch of people. Like I said, it was pretty cool to see, though. So, well, very cool. Well, we're getting close to the top of our hour, and chat room seems to be pretty lively. Chris, what have I been missing? I've been trying to stay away. I kept seeing the word poop pop up a lot, so I figured I'd stay out of the mix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they talking about the...
We should talk to Justin. If for nothing else, I want to hear if he's got a fishing report for us. And where is he fishing tonight?
All right. So we're going to release Justin from the mute button. He was our background noise. He's calling us from the water. Is he there? Justin, you with us?
Yeah, sure am. Can you hear me on the speakerphone all right?
Yeah, we had to mute you because we had a lot of background noise. I didn't hear any of that background noise. Wasn't sounding like fish on, but we did hear a lot of noise. So what's going on out there on the water?
I'm Sky 10,
reporting live. What's that?
I'm actually out of New Point Comfort, Matthews. And so far I got two steps. Actually, I just missed one about a minute ago. Fishing top water.
Of course you did. Well, we had you on mute.
Hey, I got some of the hits on video, so you can shut up.
Okay. Very cool. All right, so you're out tonight. You're targeting speckled trout, and you've had a few. What are you throwing out there tonight? What's your working lure so far?
I threw a Zara Spook and had it blow up like four times. So I stopped it, and it was about maybe 20 feet out from the kayak. I didn't want to spook the speck. And I switched up and cast a Zoom Super Fluke and caught it on the Super Fluke.
Very cool. So you got him excited, worked him up, and then threw your fluke back out there.
Sure did. I guess I've
Very
had
cool.
about five or four up so far.
Any stripers?
No, just specks.
Very cool.
Couple houndfish. Marsh marlins.
Yeah. They put up a good fight, though.
Yeah, and break off $10 topwater lures.
I'm sorry. You knew that was going to happen tonight, though, out there.
It's a really,
all right,
really
Justin,
high.
Is it high? Yeah, you got full moon
really
tonight,
high, yeah.
So. Full moon. Well, very
East
cool
wind.
Marsh marlin. Pooping stuff, a marsh marlin. Pooping stuff wants to know what's a marsh marlin, Justin. Explain to our listeners what the Rob Choi already chimed in. It's a houndfish. That's right. They're pretty good too, don't they?
They flip out. You hook them and they jump, and it seems like they just stay out of the water. I don't even know how they actually jump that fast.
They would be our equivalent to our they would be our equivalent to our southern friends that are listening to their ladyfish. They
ladyfish,
once you hook them up, they they're like a ladyfish. They very toothy,
probably
tear up your gear.
Uh-oh.
Are you, like, fishing and talking, or do you put the rod down for a second?
Oh, no, I'm casting, currently,
Oh, okay. Jeez, we give you a minute of celebrity time, and you can't even put the rod down to talk to us.
Hey, I got to fish. I've been fishing, like, 4 or 5 days. It's ridiculous.
Oh, poor boy.
Brad just
The sun just set. I mean, I can't put the rod down. I got 30 minutes of prime time fishing here.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to let you go. We're at the top of our hour anyway. You can give us a report next week on how you finished up tonight. And good luck to you tonight. We'll see some pictures on Facebook later.
Call us from a landline.
I don't even own a landline.
Thanks, Justin. Good luck rest of the night.
All right.
Just for everybody that was saying it in the chat room.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That's right, everybody. Don't forget, mark your calendars. October 5th. Through the 8th. Come on up for the boondoggle. We'll definitely have a lot to do, a lot going on. The week prior to the boondoggle is the TKA.org website. Go check it out for our annual charity tournament. That's another great weekend, great time. If you don't walk away with some kind of prize, a raffle or something from here, you've done something wrong. Always a good time. All benefiting Hal on that. We're going to have at our boondoggle, I know Chad Hoover with Kayak Bass Fishing and Hook Ones signed on to be here. We're going to do some bass fishing here if you want, because you can be in the salt and 10 minutes later you can be on the fresh. So if you like to do both, you can definitely do it here in Virginia Beach. So like I said, y'all mark your calendars. I know that we got Chips here tonight. I don't think Chuck from Florida Redfish Chuck showed up, but we've got a lot of guys already booked cabins at First Landing. Rob, you're still with us. Rob's coming up, so it's going to be a good time. So everybody, hope to see you here.
Also, for anybody that's listening and that's interested, we're looking for donations for the raffles for the boondoggle. You can either contact Mark and I, and we'll make sure that it goes to the right place. I'm particularly interested for prizes or things to give to children. We're trying to make this a family event, so hook us up.
Definitely.
We already have some cool stuff. Luther, you know, Yak Attack is on board. Rob Choi is donating one of his rubs. Who else do we have at this point?
Mr. Steve Chapman with Fishing Florida Radio said he would donate some Costa Del Mars. So he said Costa Del Mars. He didn't say some, so I know at least a pair of Costa Del Mars. Gator Dave, Mark, if you need a few shirts. There you go. Gator Dave just said if we need some shirts. Dave does the compression shirts, so he's going to donate some shirts right there, it looks like. So that'd be great, Dave. Yeah, anything we could use. So if anybody out there listening knows anybody, got something they want to give or donate to the cause, fishing related or non-fishing related, it doesn't matter. But some cool raffles that we can hand out at the Boondoggle. That would be very cool.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys get out of here and finish your Tuesday evening. I'd like to thank all of my sponsors. Well, not all of my sponsors. I'd like to thank some of my sponsors real quick, and then I'll let Chris say her parting words and hit the button. So remember to come check us out this weekend. If you're going to be in the area, come to the Appomattox Demo Day. Go check us out at Facebook, First Landing Kayak Fish on Facebook, on our page. What else do I got, Chris? What am I forgetting? Native Watercraft, of course. Daiwa, Aqua Dreams. You guys have got to go. If you're not familiar, if you like to use spoons, got to go check out Aqua Dream Living. That new pinfish spoon that Captain Mike has just put out has been on fire down in Florida. He sent me mine about a week and a half ago. I have yet to get out in the water to use it, but go check out Aqua Dreams. He's got some great spoons, a lot of different colors, not just your standard gold, because every day is not a good gold day for spoons. So go check them out. Thanks, Rob DeVore. Thank you for calling in. Chuck Wren, thank you for calling. Justin, he's already gone. He's fishing. So really appreciate it. Everybody listening, you're always welcome to call in. Spread the word. Tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods, what you've been up to. That's all I got. I'm done running my mouth. Chris, get us out of here.
Remember, safety, safety, safety. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation anglers. Tight lines to everybody, no matter where you're fishing.